Welcome. You are listening to the U-Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U-Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor from the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. Good to be with you. Today, we are looking at a special focus session. And this is very interesting, an interesting topic, one that I feel that all of us will benefit from. It's titled Interdependent Independence. I'll say that one real fast. Interdependent Independence. So let's think about this. Americans give a lot of emphasis to their individual rights. You know, that's really important these days. Christians also have rights that arise out of freedom we've been given in Christ. We have the right not to be held to the convictions or preferences of others. So this session is going to help us to understand that love has to dictate what we set aside as right and the freedoms that we have for the sake of others. We have to place love at the very top of those rights that we have. And so in doing, we can encourage others and we can honor Christ. This session passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33.
All right, so our point is, let your responsibility to others drive how you exercise your rights. So this is a great lesson. What can I do when my rights clash with others? And so, you know, particularly we as Americans, we love this idea of rights. All right. So this ought to be an important lesson for us as we go through this. So our first point here today is pursue good for others. Pursue good for others. Let's read the first verses starting in verse number 23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything builds up. No, one is to seek his own good, but the good of the other person. Eat everything that is sold in the meat market without raising question for the sake of conscience, since the earth is the Lord's and all that is within it. So here in this particular passage, we're dealing with this issue of Christian liberty. And there's a discussion about meat offered to idols and whether or not Christians can partake in such things. So how do you deal with these questionable issues when I feel like my right says it's okay as a believer, and yet there could be struggle on behalf of other believers who are around you? So how do we deal with these clashing interests is kind of what we're faced with here. So first, he just reminds us, look, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And so we've got to consider what is good according to the law, but at the same time, what is beneficial? And they may not always be the same. Everything is permissible. Maybe it's okay for me to do this thing over here, but everything doesn't build up. And so I've got a problem over here. And I've got to weigh these options all the time if I'm as a true believer, because we have an interdependent independence. I'm not independent on my own. I still have responsibilities to those who are around me. And that's why no one can seek just his own good, but the good of the other person. And so here's a struggle that was a struggle for the Corinthian church. It is our struggle as well in different ways in life as we're going through life in our particular place as well. So what are you seeing, Christina?
Right, Mark. Paul was helping us to understand that just because something is permitted does not mean it's beneficial. The Corinthians did not seek the helpful things or the things that would edify. Essentially, instead of wanting to go forward with Jesus as much as they could, they wanted to know how much they could do and get away with and still be Christians. So, you know, and that's the wrong approach. You know, they focused on their own rights and they asked this question, what's the harm to me? So they were concerned about themselves. As the Corinthian Christians asked this question, though, they did not consider how their actions harmed other people. And that's what you said, Mark, that just because something is fine to me, it does not mean that I should do it. I have to consider the harm to others. And that's that interdependent independence that you were talking about.
All right. So, you know, we see this, you know, in different ways and in different places in our time and in our society. I'm sure you guys will be able to think of some of these in your classes as you're going through these times. Some things it's okay. You know, I'm not going to hell if I do this thing over here. But at the same time, you know, it may a person who is weaker in faith may have a problem because they don't quite understand it or see it the way you do. All right. So let's dig in a little deeper by looking at the second point. Partake without offense. Partake without offense. And so verse number 27, if any of the believers invite you over and you want to go, eat everything that is set before you. If unbelievers invite you, eat everything that is set before you without raising questions for conscience sake. But if someone says to you, this is food from a sacrifice, do not eat it, out of consideration for the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your own conscience, but the other person's. For why is my freedom judged by another person's conscience? If I partake with thanksgiving, why am I criticized because of something for which I give thanks? So, yeah, so there it is. He said, look, he says, if an unbeliever invites you over and they offer food to you, just eat it, you know, pray over it, eat it, and don't ask a bunch of questions. So in this particular case, there were times when unbelievers would get meat that was offered to a pagan idol. And they could get that at a discount. And so they would get this meat and then they would serve it at home. And so he's saying, look, if they serve you something like that, just eat it. Part of what's not in our verses is the discussion where he's just reminding them that there's no such thing as an idol. And so God is the only God. And so meat offered to an idol is really just meat that's offered to a statue because God is the only true and living God. And so just eat it because there's no God but God. But he says, if they tell you this, right, verse number 20. But if they mention to you, oh, by the way, this is food from a sacrifice, he says, don't eat it. Why? Don't eat it because he doesn't want you to weaken your witness in the face of this unbeliever. So are you being two-faced here? No, you're not being two-faced. You're being sensitive to what might trip up the young faith of an unbeliever or the young faith of a believer. And so what I can do, because I've been around more mature and I know there's no such thing as an idol, it don't matter. But if somebody else is going to be tripped up on this, then it's going to be an issue for me. You know, so how do we kind of put this in a modern context and conversation is what you'll want to do in the life of your classes, because the truth is probably none of us are going to somebody's house eating meat over to an idol, right? But what is happening where these things are the case? So there will be times and situations where you know that a person who is an unchristian or who is young in the faith may have some particular things that they think Christians should and shouldn't do. And so what Paul is telling us here is, look, honor their faith and honor their thoughts, because we don't want to weaken, we don't want to cut off their desire or thoughts that might move them farther and deeper in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I had something else to say, but I don't want to say that because that's the next point. So I'll just stop right there. So what are you thinking, Christina?
Okay. Yeah, Mark, you know, you talked about some things that are from the previous verses. So I would encourage everyone to read the previous verses in 1 Corinthians 10 and I guess starting at 15 and read some of the information there. So you'll understand that Paul was separating what was going on, the atmosphere of worship or the fellowship with the demons that were in the pagan temple from the meat. He said that the sacrifices lost their religious character when they were sold to the meat market. So it was permitted for them to eat the meat, and there was no problem with that. But if, as Mark said, if one of the brothers with a weak conscience objects, he says, wait a minute, that meat was sacrificed to an idol. And then Paul responded, and he quoted, I think here, the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness there is. And so what we see here is the cow belonged to the Lord, but it, when it was on the hoof, and it belongs to the Lord now that it is on the barbecue. So the food wasn't the issue. The idol worshiping was the issue. But again, you know, we have to emphasize, if this is offensive to someone, then you should not partake. It's okay to partake with thanks if you can eat with a clear conscience and offending someone else's conscience. And so the meat itself is not the problem. No one should judge another Christian who can eat meat sacrificed to idols as long as they don't violate their own conscience or someone else's. So that's a simple principle there, but we need to really pay attention to it.
All right, so I'm trying to, and don't forget to read the Digging Deeper to get that understanding as well. You know, there are times when on one side you go to certain churches, and certain churches have different rules that they think are what's necessary for Christians, right? So maybe they'll say women can't have to wear a dress, or women have to have a hat on, or preachers have to wear a suit with a tie. You know, I go down in some of the islands and some other countries, and you know, the preacher must, you know, wear a suit and tie. And so that's kind of on one side. And then there may be some other things on another side. So you have to question. I remember somebody telling me about a church, and in this particular church, they had a Valentine's gathering, and somebody played some secular love music, and the people danced, right? So that it wasn't a holy dance. It was a dance, right? And so then you're going to raise this question. Oh, so is that okay? Well, that's okay as long as you don't have weak or unchristian people in the mix. And your opportunity to witness to them is getting messed up because they can't get past this, because in their minds, this is only something that unchristian people do. And so they can't get past this idea. So you can see how this, all of these things can work up into our daily conversations, because ultimately what we want is to not mess up our witness to others, right? And so that is actually the last point in this text: protect your witness, because more important than whether we can or can't do something ought to be our witness toward people who need to know Jesus. Huh? So I ought to be willing to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice in order to be able to share the life-giving, eternal message of the gospel with people who need to hear it. All right. And so if I have to sacrifice something I know is okay, then that's what we need to do for the gospel's sake. Let's read this last section, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or the church of God. Just as I also try to please everyone in everything, not seeking my own benefit, but the benefit of many, so that they may be saved. And so here is part of this, part of this, our witness in the face of unbelievers is all the more important, right? And so don't do stuff that you know is going to trip up an unbeliever when you're in their presence. And this is not saying to be two-faced or anything like that. What is godly is godly. What is ungodly, no matter where you are, right? But then there's some things that that sometimes people put a little questionable line in. And so these are a matter of Christian conscience. And so when that comes, I want my Christian conscience to end on the side of that which will not damage my witness with the unbelievers who are around me, right? So what are you thinking here, Christina?
Right. And you now remember the purpose. And this is what Paul shared at the very beginning of this these verses here. The purpose is to do all to the glory of God. That should be the purpose of our lives. It isn't to see how much we can get away with and still be Christians. It is to glorify God. If the Corinthian Christians would have kept this principle in mind from the beginning of this issue, how much easier it would have made everything. So Paul's desire is that we glorify God. And then, as you pointed out, the important thing here is also is that people be saved. More often than we think, our conduct and our Christian living is connected to little regard for the lost. And people are watching. They see us because they know that we are Christians. But then they see our conduct. So Paul's concern was not seeking his own profit, but that all would be saved. And that should be important to us as well.
So one other current issue we could throw in here is like people have been battling, we're getting less and less of it now, but battling over this issue of wearing masks. And so some people didn't want to wear masks, right? They think it's their right not to wear masks. Well, it's not your right to mess up your Christian witness. That's what I would say. And so if not wearing a mask messes up my Christian witness, then I better put one on. Come on. Come on. So there it is. So sometimes I have to give up my rights in order to gain my witness. Think about it like that. Sometimes I have to give up my rights in order to gain my witness for the Lord. All right. So this ought to be an interesting discussion as you go through this one on today. So thank you for joining us. I do want you to hold on. If you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I do want to remind everybody to get your copy of the You Bible Study. You can get it at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. Comes in paper and digital formats. It has a teacher's guide in the back of the book and daily discipleship pages to keep us engaged with the Bible every day. Has a leader's pack, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there is something for everybody. Come on, Christina, and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for this special focus lesson is something a little different that we don't usually do. It's titled Execute with Intentionality. Okay, so what you're going to do is just simply give an assignment to your learners and, you know, pray about this and see how God will lead you and who he would lead you to. Just call and text learners, and this is what you can ask them to do is to, first of all, help them to understand that you're doing a session on interdependent independence. And this lesson is how we are better when we make choices in consideration of others' needs. And then just ask them to contribute a discussion or a little report, maybe using one of the daily readings that supports the lesson, or they can find a little something themselves online. You may have to give them a little bit more information, but ask them to be ready to share during class time. This will be interesting to go ahead and give an assignment before the class begins.
All right, thank you so much. This is going to be a great lesson. I know you're going to have some conversation around this one. So, friend, join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.